Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Amen. Our reading today are words from the Proverbs of Solomon. He writes, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Set us apart for the truth. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Fellow redeemed, real wisdom is a funny thing. When you want it, you must already have it. Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, and that was already a very wise request, wasn't it? Solomon became the wisest descendant of Adam. And in our text today, he says, happy, in other words, blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now, in this world, there is another kind of wisdom, a wisdom that does not come from God, but rather from the evil one, the father of lies. It looks like the real thing, so much so that once Adam and Eve looked away from the true wisdom for about a moment, they fixed their eyes upon the false wisdom offered by the serpent, and it says that when Eve saw that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The fruit of that tree and their disobedience did make them wise, but not with the wisdom of God. It gave them the kind of wisdom that makes it obvious that you probably don't want to break the law out in the open in front of the authorities, lest there be some kind of punishment that come your way. But rather, that sort of thing is to be covered up, perhaps with excuses or finger-pointing, or maybe even some fig leaves. The serpent's twisted wisdom instantly gave them expertise in what it was like to be separated from God and from real wisdom. Adam and Eve wanted and took that false wisdom into their hearts, and they did not find happiness, but exile and a flaming sword to keep them from eternal life and endless toil and pain and suffering and death. Their firstborn son, Cain, was a murderer. His brother, Abel, the first recorded death. Such sadness. But Solomon writes, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, true wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold." So where is this real wisdom that Solomon writes about in such glowing terms? And how can we discern between this real wisdom and that deceptive, false, harmful wisdom that's peddled by the devil? Seeking this true wisdom is at once the most impossible and yet the simplest task. When we don't have that true wisdom, we can never obtain it for ourselves. It's impossible. We're not even interested in it. It doesn't ever even occur to us to look for it. But when we do find it, it turns out that we already had it, like Solomon, because true wisdom, the wisdom of God, is not from our own thinking. It's not from our own doing. True wisdom can never be obtained by those who do not know the one who is himself wisdom. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians. Where is the wise? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. There you have it. Jesus is the wisdom of God. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding." And indeed, when we go out to the Jordan and see God's beloved Son baptized, the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove and remained upon him. Jesus is the wisdom of God for us. Now, Solomon also wrote in the Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And later on he wrote, "If you seek wisdom as silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom." It's the Lord who gives this to us. It's the Lord who grants graciously the wisdom of God to us poor sinners. What does it mean to fear God, but to believe and so know in our hearts that he is the Almighty One, that everything he says is true and right and wise, that he condemns sin and the sinner, and that his wisdom brought him down from heaven to take on our lack of true wisdom. And the foolishness of God is such that he came down from heaven and took up the foolishness of our every sin to become the sinner in our place on that terrible cross. I fear God, and I love God for this astounding message. And this is not because I did anything better or thought any differently somehow from what Adam and Eve were thinking in their sin. All of us have rattled through our lives, seeking after and falling into most every false wisdom laid before us by the evil one in the world in our own flesh. But God in his wisdom shares real wisdom with you and me in the water, with the proclamation of his word, under the bread and wine. By God's grace, that wisdom from above is my own. I get to claim that, thank God, because of he gave it to me. It is mine. It is a gift from my Father in heaven, and it is precious to me. And I pray that it is for you as well. And now that that wisdom creates in believing hearts the burning desire to be filled with his wisdom, we turn away from those worldly facsimiles, those lies of the devil. There's a desire that wisdom manifests in our hearts. James wrote, "If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, even demonic. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her, Solomon said, because in faith, these qualities of wisdom, these fruits of wisdom, are really precious to us. God is making our hearts once again whole and at one with his heart. And so all the fruits of the Spirit are what we actually do desire in that wondrous new heart of faith that God is placing in us. That desire ever grows. And so we see that God's wisdom is ever more desirable. What has this world to offer that can compare with the wisdom of God? When the forgiven heart's greatest desire is to be right with our Savior and our God. the wisdom of the cross. He stands high above everything. And with Paul, I am truly able to declare to you his gracious forgiveness, the forgiveness of all your sins, because he loved us, because he loved the whole world, because he was crucified for us, because he died and was buried and on the third day rose again for us. This is the utter foolishness of God that is his great wisdom. And this wisdom is yours today. God himself says so. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Please turn with me to the bottom of page 86 in the front part of the hymnal. And we join in the third prayer. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.